Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Philadelphia Phillies on Radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo! It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack, are the hopes high?
Good afternoon, James. Fire Matt Klenczak, hire Chaim Bloom.
Yes.
I'm not even going to say anything else besides this podcast, besides those.
You're just going to repeat that over and over and over.
I tweet it out every morning. I'm now putting it on this podcast.
So you're like trying to speak it into existence.
It is literally all I care about.
Me too.
It's all I care about. It's all I care about. Well, he is more important than anything this organization has done in the last 4 years.
I agree with you.
Besides Harper.
Maybe.
And probably Real Muto.
No, let's be real. Let's be honest. Probably more important.
Having a good...
Bryce Harper, you could argue, because of the Scott Boras tie-in, and we'll get to the at the yard pod and what they had to say. We'll get to that. So maybe you could argue Bryce Harper, but legitimately, we're talking about the guy who's going to steer the franchise potentially for the next, hopefully, you know, decade plus or whatever.
And would be good at it.
Yeah, it certainly seems like you put out that tweet where the, or quote tweeted or whatever, with the fact, I mean, we've talked a lot about how what the Rays are doing. The Rays playing in a playoff game tonight. Made the playoffs with the lowest payroll in baseball, but just how low? 55% less than any... I mean, that's insanity. The fact that they made the playoffs is every major market team should be firing their front office, except for, of course, the Dodgers and the Astros and these types of teams that are winning. I mean, it is... When you look at what the Rays are doing, and teams like the Phillies, with the resources they have, are doing what they're doing, it's embarrassing, man. That whole front office should be getting jobs. Well, I mean, you should be poaching as many people as you can from that front office.
I mean, it's just tough to say because we don't have any recent examples of a Tampa Bay Rays executive going to a big market team and turning them into a juggernaut. Oh, wait, we have that already. You're telling me we've already seen that work before? Oh, if only... Wait, Andrew Friedman used to work for the Rays, and now the Dodgers are a freaking machine?
Juggernaut.
And I want to be a freaking machine? It's just like... Oh, my God.
All right, well, let's get to the it all kind of... We were waiting to do the pod, do inside baseball.
55% lower than league average.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
That's how...
Than league average, yeah. That is
in league average.
I mean, that's unbelievable. It's hard to believe. So... all right, so today, we've been waiting to do the pod. We were thinking, all right, we got to wait. Gabe's going to get fired. We got to do the pod after that.
Yep.
Good thing we waited until today, Jack, because we finally got some information from the people who cover the team. It started with Jim Salisbury, who says, I'm hearing nothing's going to happen today. So everyone starts to, you know, kind of back off a little bit. Then Matt Gelb tweets out, a reminder that it took the Phillies 8 days after the 2005 season to fire Ed Waite. The longer this goes, the more questions there are about leadership above the manager. That got everyone's ears perked. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, is this more than a Gabe Kapler decision? Then, of course, Stark with the bombshell. I'm hearing buzz that it's now possible there won't be an announcement on the fate of Gabe Kapler until next week, which I'm taking as a sign the Phillies understand they have more to decide right now than just the fate of the manager, Jack. Yo.
Thank God.
Yo. All right, we have a lot to dive into with this. First, just your general... thoughts and impressions about this. And again, it's not a report from Stark. He is saying it makes me think, but Stark doesn't put stuff out there without solid information. Neither does Salisbury. Those are probably the two most hooked in guys to this Phillies clubhouse for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
What they say matters. What is your interpretation? What's your take on this whole S show right now, Jack? I didn't curse there for you, buddy. Wanted to.
I'm glad they're reassessing. It seems like they're reassessing the general manager position.
Thank God.
And I'm glad that hopefully they're reassessing the Andy McPhail job.
I would think they would go as a team
together.
Would be my thought.
Right, because we've been screaming for months that this is not an entire Gabe Kapler problem.
No.
Like, this is, it's just not. Like, Gabe is a small problem in a bigger organizational, I don't think they're dysfunctional. I just don't think they're very good.
Right, but this right now feels somewhat dysfunctional.
Well, it's like you've been out of playoff contention for a month.
What are you doing? How are you not evaluating these guys? How do you have no idea whether you're going to fire the manager or the general manager?
Well, and Gabe Kapler's at Citizens Bank Park yesterday doing work.
Like going to his office.
No, it's like the poor guy. First off, you should let him interview somewhere else if he wants to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, there is a team out there in the Giants who have already been said to have real interest in Gabe Kapler.
It seems like the worst kept secret in baseball.
Well, and who runs the Giants?
Farhan, who hired him.
Yeah, of course. And also, you know, former Rays guy as well.
Farhan's a Rays guy too?
Former Dodgers guy, excuse me, not Rays guy. But from, you know, worked under Friedman with the Dodgers and stuff.
Farhan's great.
Infrastructure. Yeah, Farhan knows what he's doing. So, look, I'm with you. I really want Matt Klentak gone. I think it is imperative for the future of this franchise because I just don't believe that he's going to get better. I don't believe he's going to be able to lead this franchise where it needs to be. We don't need to dive into the organizational issues they have, but there's no depth in this organization of talent.
What is the case for keeping Matt Klentak?
That's my point. I'm with you, but again, the case is that John Middleton said in March he's an elite general manager. In March, Jack, it's October. And again, the team was already built. John Middleton knew what the team looked like going into that season. And he said, elite general manager, compared him to Branch Rickey. All these types of insane things. When you hear them now that he's considering firing him, I mean, dysfunction isn't that far off of a word. It makes me feel like John Middleton has no idea what he's doing.
Well, there's a reason why they are 11,000 losses. Oh. Is that what?
Yeah, officially that, the last. How about that? Was it? Could there have been anything more like synchronicity, perfect type of thing to 81-81 to end the season, and it's your 11,000th loss as a franchise? It was just like, of course.
It is.
Yeah.
So it was about as 2019 Phillies as a 2019 Phillies could get.
It was perfect. It was like, it was too perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I wish I had known going into the season that they were 81 losses away. I wish I had noticed that because I would have predicted 81-81 because it's just so perfect.
It's what happens. It's what happens. The Middleton thing is just, I just don't know. Here's my hope. My hope is this.
You're a hopeful guy.
I'm a positive, high hopes guy.
We know.
My hope is that John Middleton is having his Jeff Lurie moment. He knows that the guys that are running this organization right now are not fit for the job. Andy McPhail blows. Andy McPhail is pointless in this whole thing.
Again, even alone, the if we don't, we don't comment, to say that out loud to media, he should have been fired for that one comment alone. He should have walked out of that press conference in Middleton and should have been like, get the F out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, I can't believe you just said that publicly to the media. Like, oh my God.
Well, it would have been the quickest turnaround in baseball history. Missed those days. Yeah. Hey, we're still in first place.
At least we don't ever have to hear that again, which is nice.
I don't know what you guys are complaining about. Right now, in May, we'd be in the playoffs. So I don't know what you're complaining about.
The season ended today, Jack.
Andy, love it, buddy. And I just, like, Matt Klentak's been here for 4 years, and the fact that they don't have him, like,
They have two prospects. They have two guys who you feel like can be all-stars someday.
No power.
They have two guys in the whole freaking organization.
And, like, they're a step behind when you're looking at, like, everyone talks about, oh, they went too far with the analytics. No, they haven't. They're behind.
What they do, the problem is that first and foremost, they probably, it seems, have too heavy a reliance on the numbers they're told. You do need a balance. There needs to be some sort of feel with this thing. Human beings are not robots. You know, I say that all the time. It's one of my things. Like, you can't tell everything from the numbers. But outside of that, I think the bigger issue is that it seems like they don't know how to apply these analytics. It seems like, yes, they use analytics, but they're using them incorrectly.
They do not know how to use them.
Clearly. We saw it last year with the defensive shifts. A perfect example of it. That they just didn't understand how to shift. No. That was the issue.
They changed their whole philosophy in the offseason. Like, they came into the season last year talking about how great they're going to be at shifting, and then they had to change. They had to literally flip it. They had to flip it from figuring. They last year with the shifts, they tried to do it to the batter rather than to the pitcher's strengths, and they get burned. Mm-hmm. And then they flipped this offseason, and it was fine. Like, it was better, but like. Why are you doing something you don't know what you're doing?
Well, that's the point. To have that bad a read on something that's so fundamental, especially when we're talking about analytics, where every team in baseball seems to understand shifting. Literally, pretty much every team. You know, there are a few teams that shouldn't be discussed in any sort of discussion. I mean, the Detroit Tigers lost 114 games. Like, whatever.
Oh, our future scouting director from the Orioles, probably. No,
can you imagine? Yeah.
James. Me and James have talked about this off the air. There are a few scenarios where you're never getting another High Hopes podcast.
Yeah, no, we might shut it down. Yeah. We might just be like, all right.
There's no point.
Sorry. Because you know why? Because there are no hopes. Hopes are dead. That is on the table here.
If they bring in another Orioles guy, they bring in Socha.
Socha would be bad. Honestly, no joke, and this isn't going to happen, and Todd Zielecki put this name in his articles. Ruben Amaro, I might want him more than Mike Socha. That's how bad I don't want Socha. The point is, I obviously don't want Ruben Amaro. Those are the two worst possible.
Why was he even
I have a theory on it. To be honest, I think what it is, I think the Phillies are doing him a solid. Whenever people start
Why do they have to do
guys solids
all the time?
I agree with you, but I think what it is we see this in sports all the time, especially in the NFL, where once a guy is on those lists, once a guy is interviewing for managerial jobs, other teams seem to like take that to heart and give those people opportunities and interviews and stuff. So I honestly think they're doing Ruben a solid and just saying, hey, we'll put you on the list. Maybe we'll give you an interview, but you're not getting this job. But now people will see, oh, we gave him an interview. Maybe we should give him an interview. And so I think that,
and then
I know
will
how
say,
stupid it is, but stuff works like that.
And then will they say, oh, you interview with the Phillies, another dumb team. We're not going to hire you. Like so they're hoping
he gets
hired by a dumb team.
They might.
He doesn't know what on base percentage is.
I know.
He said
Ruben
the prospects don't matter.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'll manage.
You know, this whole relitigating of the Ruben Amaro era recently is driving me crazy.
Actually, really wasn't that bad. Yes, he was. He was that bad.
He had absolutely no foresight. No, I think he did get hamstrung in a couple of things. But after they moved on from the core, like you could have done some other things.
Absolutely. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, let's talk about this fun team.
The point is, Mike Socha, Ruben Amaro, if they're announced as manager of the team, High Hopes is probably not happening anymore.
And if they hire a Orioles guy to be their scouting director.
Yes, well, or an Angels
personally.
Guy, to be honest.
Yeah.
Either or.
But there's so much Orioles stuff.
It's way too much.
Why are we investing so much in 100?
They've been the worst team in baseball for 5 years. What are we doing?
They did what the Phillies did after their run. They went into the absolute tanks. Yep. They had nothing in the system.
Well, and they've been worse for longer, too. I mean, they've been really bad.
Well, I mean, they did it. Well,
when was the last playoff run with Showalter? Was it 2014, 2015?
Yeah, well, the Phillies was 2011.
No, I know, but the Phillies also didn't start really rebuilding until like 2015. You know what I mean? Like, they were like holding on. Oh, God. This is so sad.
Imagine if we had the podcast back then.
Oh, we would have been losing our minds. Thank God we didn't do that.
Yeah. Sounds like a disaster. Yeah, I'm hoping that John Middleton is like, yo, these guys are not where we need this baseball team to be. I think John Middleton in his heart of hearts wants to be a big money spending owner, but on smart decisions. And I don't think they've made smart decisions in the last, obviously they haven't, outside of Harper and Realmuto.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like those moves are right in front of your face.
Yeah.
They're right in front of your face.
Anyone can trade their best pitching prospect for somebody else. Dude, anyone can sign Bryce Harper to a $330 million contract.
The Gene Segura contract or Gene Segura trade is looking like an absolute disaster.
Yeah, it's actually unbelievable. That was a trade where in the moment, people were hailing Mac all around baseball. What a trade!
Well, maybe not all around baseball.
You know what I mean, though. Like, it was hailed as a, wow, what a great move. It's looking like a disaster. They're talking about moving Gene Segura off shortstop.
Yeah. 1 year in.
Doesn't that sound great? Don't you want to be your second baseman? And then Scott King. And here's the thing.
You know what sounds even worse? Him being my third baseman.
Yeah, well,
a
that too. Yeah, I mean, that's a disaster. That's a disaster. And here's the thing. I actually think Scott Kingery would be a better shortstop. If you put Kingery there every day and told him to, like, all right, you're the shortstop, he'd be better defensively than Segura. He's more athletic. He's got better range. Segura sucks. Segura's not a good shortstop.
No, he's
really bad.
He's too chubby.
Like, Kingery is better. But again, Kingery should not be the shortstop either. I'm just saying, like, that shows how bad Gene Segura is.
Yeah.
But, what is the plan, Jack? What is the plan? What are we doing
here?
You
honestly want to know what it is?
Yeah.
And it all goes back to that Andy McPhail quote about before he got to if we don't, we don't. He said, we want to be the quickest turnaround in baseball history.
But you weren't. It's over.
No,
it's
no,
done.
No. I know. But they made moves in the short site to be the quickest turnaround mm-hmm. in baseball history. Mm-hmm. That's why you got Gene Segura. That's why you traded J.B. Crawford and Carlos mm-hmm. Santana for Gene Segura.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they made win-now moves, and they pushed their chips in on a team that just wasn't good enough. Like, that's what it is. And Segura, like, you got to try to flip him this offseason. You have to try to flip him.
Sure, for what?
I don't know.
Anything?
To get off that contract?
Sure. That's my point, though. What are you going to do? You're going to have to pay part of that contract.
That's such a disaster.
Who's taking Gene Segura after this season and saying, oh, I want that guy, especially when it seems like everything you hear is he's a douche in the clubhouse, too. Nobody seems to like Gene Segura.
Dude, gonna say it. Gonna say it.
Say it.
Trade him and sign Freddie as a stopgap.
No, you didn't. What if... Oh.
Stopgap Freddie?
Oh, God, what is happening?
It's a one-year Freddie?
What is happening?
Oh, it's 1 year Freddie.
All right, so this is how you know how bad things have gotten.
1 year of Freddie.
Jack Fritz is asking for Freddie Galvis to come home.
Listen.
This is it.
20-some home runs?
I don't even know you. I don't even know who you are anymore. What has happened?
Jackie Old School?
Oh, my God.
He's a gold glove. He's a gold glove shortstop.
This is a disaster. All right.
No, but in all seriousness, Freddie on a one-year deal, bring up Stott next year, and let's ride.
Okay. So you're trying to be optimistic with Middleton and what?
Well,
you
Well, I because I don't think he can be as bad.
I think
as
he
this
has no idea what he's doing as a man, as an owner of a baseball team.
Yeah,
that's what I think. What do you mean? Why he's a billionaire? That doesn't mean that he's a baseball owner. That he's a smart baseball
yeah,
owner.
What if he sees his team? He thinks the team is on the verge of like going down the wrong path.
Then well, clean house.
This is what Lori did.
But Lori, first and foremost, Lori had a lot of experience as an owner before then. I mean,
well, Middleton's been a part of the organization since 95.
Right, but he has not been the primary guy. It's a different thing. He's in charge now. And furthermore, again, just because, and we see this a lot with like, we usually see it with children of owners, like whether it's the bus kids or whatever, you know, you see it where these people become owners because their dad was rich enough to buy a team and ran a team and then their dad dies and then they're the owner of the team and they're completely unqualified to do so. James Dolan, a terrific example of that.
I don't know, I like what he's building up there.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, he's doing great. He loves music, so that's good. I I'm not saying that Middleton can't get there. And I do agree with you that at his core, I do think that John Middleton does care about winning. I don't think that he is strictly a businessman and is just there to increase the value of the team or this or that. I do think that he wants to win. I just don't think he has any idea how to do it.
I think he knows. In my gut, right? Like you're talking from your gut, right?
I'm talking from my gut.
Your gut is saying.
Obviously, I want him to be great. I want him to be exactly what he says he is—a big boy and Steinbrenner of the South. Like I want that.
Well,
sure.
I would like Steinbrenner when he was in jail and when he didn't try to trade.
Like a nice little mix of Hal and George. How about that?
I just want Brian Cashman.
That'd be great.
Here's the thing. This is me speaking totally just pie in the sky.
When is that not the case, right. Jack?
I mean, I did just say I want Freddie Galvis back.
I know. That's true.
If he fires Matt Klentak and fires Andy McPhail and he brings in Chaim Bloom.
So he's Jack Middleton again.
Then he's Jack Middleton.
Okay. I can get on board with that because I do agree. I know it's.
I think he hasn't been this involved.
I mean, that's one move. Like, he literally could change our opinion with one move, and it's bringing in someone smart to run this team. This isn't that hard, but I just don't. It doesn't seem like he knows what to do
yeah,
right
but
now.
Here's the thing. Like, this wasn't.
He called him an elite GM in March.
But it doesn't. He was just excited about getting Bryce Harper. We all know what that was. Like, I don't think we can look too much into that.
Elite.
Yeah, but I know.
General manager.
I know. Like, he's four all stars. I know. That's why he said it. But, like, he has not been this involved. He's only getting involved because he feels like there's such overwhelming pressure to do something. Like in the past, when he just let Matt Klentak do what he wanted to do, he let Andy McPhail. He was very hands off. He only feels like he has to get involved now because he feels like the team's falling apart. Maybe he was in the owner's box in week one of the Eagle season talking to Lori about how he did it.
I like that spin right there. That was good.
Jackie spins?
Yeah.
Like he hasn't been this involved. He's only gotten involved recently when this thing is looking like it's spiraling out of control.
Let's take Jeff Lori off the table as a, and again, he got very lucky with how it all worked out. I don't think Doug Peterson was the first choice. We all know he wasn't the first choice. There was a lot of luck involved in how it all worked out. Yeah, he fired Chip Kelly, props. He put Howie back in charge, which ended up being the right decision. But there was a lot of luck involved in that.
Yes.
More so, how many examples of owners being very involved in sports history have we seen be good? Be good things to have happen to your team. How often does that happen?
Don't ask me that question. Because I know the answer. But I just don't think he wants to be as involved as he is right now.
Okay.
That's right.
I hope you're right
about
that.
Because I think that...
So your hope is that John Middleton is recognizing there is a real problem with this franchise moving forward. Like, this is almost a pivot point, potentially, for the franchise, and that he could potentially get rid of Matt Klentak, bring in someone smart, and then step back again.
Yeah. I hope so. And I think he would I think he would spend the money then. I think he would spend the money and invest in something he believes in. I don't think he believes in this team right now. Like,
well,
I just
no,
don't...
should he? I mean, who?
No,
why
he shouldn't.
Should you believe in this
but,
team?
But, like,
right
that's
now?
The thing. That's why I don't get... Here's what I don't get, is if Middleton just fires Gabe Kapler, then what is the point of his baseball guys? His baseball guys are telling him not to.
Well, that's the point.
Just clean house at that point.
Well, exactly.
And bring in guys you believe in.
Because if you're going to do that, and then especially bring in someone who, you know, and again, Buck Showalter might be the one example against this because he does have history with those guys, with McPhail and Klentak from Baltimore. I know, it's so ridiculous. But if it's a Madden or a Girardi or whoever it is, someone with real clout, I mean, immediately you're setting up a situation where their general manager and coach are fighting against each other inherently. I mean, they're you know what I mean? They come in and they're like not on the same page.
Good, I guess.
I'm conceding your point. I'm saying you're right. The idea that to only fire the manager in the situation they're in seems silly.
Ugh, gotta go get Dave Dombrowski.
Oh, God. If I hear another person...
Can we just get this
dispel
out there?
That myth?
Okay.
Yeah, please.
I feel like we have to because we're the iHost podcast.
Look, here's the thing. Dave Dombrowski won't come here because there are no prospects for him to trade away for to try and win. There's no one here. He's got no farm system to trade away from.
Let's get this out there. Dave Dombrowski is horrible at his job. He's been horrible at his job forever.
For a long time.
All Dave Dombrowski does is come in and start selling prospects and signing big contracts.
And now that's why the Boston Red Sox now apparently can't keep Mookie Betts and JD Martinez because they gave Nate Eovaldi and Chris Sale money.
Your only job as a president, GM, is to keep your stars. You're in Boston. You are...
Mookie Betts is 26 years old,
yeah, Mookie
and he's
Betts
a superstar.
Unfreaking believable.
MVP of the league last year, and they're like, no, it's going to be tough to keep this guy here. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if Mookie Betts were here and that happened? We would riot. And again, just the fact that Dave Dombrowski won 108 games last year in a World Series and got fired this year tells you all you need to know about Dave Dombrowski as a president of an organization.
They went to John Henry and were like, hey, not a big deal or anything, but we can't keep Mookie Betts. And he said, you can get out.
Get the hell out.
Yeah. You signed Nate Eovaldi for $63
million? Yeah.
Whoa,
get out.
Why?
Get out.
Why? Why did you extend Chris Sale when he did?
It made no sense.
He could have just waited.
Yeah. He extended Chris Sale right after the worst Chris Sale has ever looked in his career. It's like, oh, that guy can't pitch in the World Series. Let's sign him. That's smart.
Love it. So if any of your friends, colleagues, peers come to you and say, you know what? I think the Phillies should sign Dave Dombrowski. Say to them they're dumb and listen to the iHopes podcast.
Yeah. It won't be here if they sign Dave Dombrowski. That's another one.
Another one?
Dombrowski, Socha, Amaro. Anyone else you want to add
Orioles,
to this list?
Orioles scouting director.
Orioles guy. Yes. Orioles guy X.
Outside of Showalter, I wouldn't like Showalter.
I'd be okay with
Showalter. It would not be social level.
It wouldn't be a disaster.
He comes in and he wins and then gets out.
Yeah. And Showalter, I do see the potential for this clubhouse, this group of guys, to need someone to come in who has some cachet and is someone who is a not a disciplinarian, but
someone, they need a boss.
Yes, they need a boss. That is exactly right. And Buck Showalter would come in and be a boss. So from that perspective, he wouldn't be my top choice, but I'm not quitting on the team if they bring in Buck Showalter. My issue with bringing in Buck Showalter is it probably means that it's Clint Tack and McPhail who brought Buck Showalter.
That's a problem.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, like Jim Salisbury was on At the Yard.
Yeah, let's get into that.
Listen, if you don't listen to this podcast, or no, if you listen to this podcast and you're looking for like a beat writer podcast, the At the Yard podcast is the best podcast. If you're looking for, yeah, entertainment, fun takes, that's what we're here for. Yeah. But Jim Salisbury did say on At the Yard that they're looking for a boss as their next manager.
Which makes sense. Like, that makes sense.
The clubhouse needs it, and I think Harper Realmuto want that. And Harper Realmuto are what matters.
Yeah, they're the leaders of this franchise moving forward.
And they want to play for a winner.
Which they should. It's fair. Sometimes you just need that. And I'm very okay with that line of thing. And the other thing,
even because it can be for a short period of time. Like, I'm cool with bringing in an old school boss guy for like a couple years.
To kind of get this team back on track.
Right, and that's what it feels like Showalter would do.
You know, he's 63. You know, I don't think he's looking to manage for the next decade or something like
that. Dusty's only 60.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He feels like he's 75 years old to me. Is he really only 60?
Yeah.
Wow. He feels way older to me. That's crazy.
No, I'm just kidding. 70.
Oh, it makes so much more sense.
Oh, wow.
I was like, he totally threw me off there. I'm like, no way. 70
sounds
right.
Where did I mess that up at?
I would have said 72 if you'd asked me how old he was.
That's because Charlie's 75.
There you go. So regardless, I'm fine with that. I'm okay with something like that. The other thing, the podcast mentioned that we should get into, because that was really fascinating. Scott Boras.
Yeah, I'm ready to just be a Scott Boras team.
Well, dude,
he manages all the good players.
So what they said on At the Yard was that Scott Boras and John Middleton have become very close, and that there is at least a solid chance in Jim Salisbury's eyes, and again, the guys have to want to come here and sign and all that, but that he is going to try and funnel his clients, particularly the two he mentioned by name, Garrett Cole and Anthony Rendon, one or the other, obviously, towards the Philadelphia Phillies to come here and play with Bryce Harper. Honestly, this is the best thing John Middleton has done, is become close with Scott Boras.
Yeah.
Like you said, I know that Scott Boras, a lot of people are like, oh, he's the devil, oh, he's the worst, this and that. You want that dude on your side. Yeah. You just do. He might be the most powerful person in baseball.
Probably.
Probably, right? I mean, Rob Manfred probably doesn't have more power than Scott Boras. I mean, I don't know
Joe
who else.
Torre.
Maybe.
But not really.
But not really. I think Scott Boras probably, practically speaking, has the most power in the sport.
Yeah.
Get that guy on your side.
Yeah. I mean, this is what the Nationals were from 2012 on. I mean, they got Worth.
Strasburg, Rendon. I mean, they drafted Rendon, but Harper they drafted, but still a Scott Boras guy.
Like,
they had a lot. Worth. Yeah, they had a lot of Scott Boras people in that building.
I mean, they became the Scott Boras franchise. Mm-hmm. Now, it does force you to take guys like Matt Wieters sometimes, and it forces you to take some bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, it means
it all works out in the end.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we took Jake Arrieta. Okay, that should be tenfold what we had to pay.
Yeah, it's true.
You better bring us. You should bring us Garrett Cole and silver platter.
You should. Yeah, we should get a discount.
Yeah,
the Jake Arrieta discount.
Take this freaking guy.
He's still got one more year of that, by the way.
Do you see what he said about Carlos Santana? He is just awful.
He's the worst. Especially
he's Bavin. He is Jason Bavin.
He's Jason Bavin. It seems like Carlos Santana, universally liked throughout the sport. Like, the Indians glow about him. Like, he seems like a great dude who everyone loves. And Jake Arrieta is like, hated that guy. Happy he's gone. It's like, all right, jerk. He didn't say hated him, but he said he's happy he's gone or whatever.
So. Well, and like, because Carlos Santana didn't want you guys to play video games during
I know. It's like Carlos Santana wanted to be a professional and, like, you know, actually, like, care about baseball. What a crazy thought. Jake?
Yeah.
Not a Jake Arrieta fan.
No.
Honestly, I would be fine with them eating the money and not playing him that next year. That's how much I dislike the guy.
Well, no, that's not
gonna happen. Of course it's not going to happen. That's outrageous to think that. But all right, let's get back to it, because I've kind of like been all over the place. So, which is kind of what it is. I mean, there's so much swinging around with this team right now. And really, I think the fate of this team is really hanging in the balance. The future of this team, again, I don't think I can speak strongly enough to how nervous I am about the next couple weeks with the Phillies, about how crucial the decisions that are happening now are for the future. Again, like the general manager, scouting director, who John Middleton is the owner of this team. And we're not even talking about upgrading the roster, which is going to be a massive part of this offseason because, you know, they don't have any pitchers, Jack. So there is so much going on with this franchise right now, with this team heading into this offseason. I really feel like we talked a lot last offseason. We said like a million times this is the biggest offseason in franchise history.
Yeah.
This might be bigger. Yeah. The next week plus might be the biggest week in the last decade of this franchise or longer. And for the next decade of the franchise.
It's important. I know it's like nerve wracking, but I'm also excited for it.
You always are.
I just want to see what's going to happen, man.
I do too, but I'm more nervous than excited. So, all right, let's get on the record. What do you think happens?
I actually feel better about Klentak being gone.
I do too.
Which is like
the fact
massive.
That this came out. Like,
listen, I hope John Middleton saw the tweets. Every day I wake up and say, fire Mike Klentak, hire Chaim Bloom. Let's go.
Well, it's funny.
Listen, I'm rooting against the Rays tonight. I need the Rays to lose. So I need the Chaim Bloom thing to be done. I need to be over. Because I need to stop getting my hopes up.
One way or the other. Either he's with the Red Sox or we get excited.
He's gonna
sign with the Red Sox.
I'm gonna be let down. Like,
prepare yourself, man.
I know. I'm not looking forward to it. But if he signs with the Phillies,
the thing I love about you, it's perfect for the podcast, the High Hopes podcast. You, more than anyone I've ever met, can take like 0.01% of hope and find a way to make it into 100% hope. Yeah. It's really amazing. It's a real skill.
It's going to happen. Chaim Bloom is going to be our new... Make him the president.
Speak it into existence.
Make him the president.
Screw it. Give him the team. Just sell the team to him, John, for nothing. Just let Chaim run the show.
Please. I need him here. I need him here too, so bad. He's from here.
He's from here. Hashtag.
We can stick it to the Mets forever. They chose Brody Van Wagenen.
Which is unbelievable.
He was right there.
I know.
He was right there.
One of two finalists. Which is crazy, too. You tweeted this out. I couldn't believe it. Chaim Bloom, one of the three finalists for the Phillies job back in 2015.
Yeah. We could have had him. No, he was like 23 at that point, probably.
Who cares, man? Who cares? I don't know.
I'm cool. But like, here's the thing. Like, Chaim Bloom built the Rays way. He built the Rays way. How they developed their minor league players. He developed a plan to build their minor league system. That is what he did before becoming whatever he is now.
He's number two.
No, he's the number two. That is what he did before. Now you can bring him here.
Well, just imagine, you keep saying this too, like I think in like half of your tweets are about this, but just imagine giving this guy the resources that you have here. It's what happened with Andrew Friedman. Andrew Friedman built a Rays team that went to the World Series. Like, I don't think we should underrate how impressive that team he built was, and Phillies obviously handled it, but that was so impressive to do what he did. And then he went to the Dodgers, and now he's built a literal juggernaut for the next decade or whatever.
People get hurt, they bring up a stud.
Dude, I was just talking with Joe Giglio. They brought Dustin May to pitch out their bullpen. He's a top 20 prospect in baseball. Gavin Lux, they're just like, he's like a top 10 prospect in baseball. They're like, hey, come on up. We'll play some second base. We'll bring you off the bench. It'll be fine. Gavin Lux, the Phillies don't have anyone like either of those two guys. Spencer Howard's not even Dustin May. And we're talking about Spencer Howard saving the franchise. We're like, oh God, thank God he's going to be in the rotation. He can save the season. Dustin May's pitching out their bullpen.
I don't like this Spencer Howard slander. He could be just as good as
Dustin
May.
If the Dodgers offered you Dustin May for Spencer Howard, would you take it?
Nope.
Lies. That is such a lie.
Nah, I just saw
it on your face. Such a lie.
He's got red hair.
Okay, fair. It's true. I did marry someone with red hair, so I don't think I can go down this road.
He's got a leg kick. Spencer Howard's a horse. Also, okay. I mean, Alec Boehm could be Gavin Lux.
No.
Yes, he can be.
Stop lying to yourself.
I'm not lying to myself. Why can't it be?
You're right. Maybe he could be. Probably won't be.
Maybe not.
Again, if the Dodgers offered you Gavin Lux for Alec Boehm, would you take it?
I don't know.
You totally would take it. Don't lie.
Where's Gavin Lux playing?
You always keep it real with the High Hopes listeners.
Because I honestly don't know.
Okay.
Although I will say this. What does hurt is seeing Keston Hiura be
batting cleanup
for the Brewers.
I know.
I don't know if you... Like, we didn't have this podcast, I don't think. I don't think we had this podcast.
No.
But I don't know if you remember how much I wanted Keston.
You loved Keston Hiura.
I was so mad.
I know.
It was a Kingery thing, too.
Yep.
It was like they believed in Kingery so much that they didn't want to shake Gaston Theora, even though he's basically the next Anthony Rendon.
Well, isn't that a great idea when kids are that young to say, oh, he plays that position, so we're not going to take him? You morons. You morons. You morons. Yeah, like, whatever. I don't know what else to say. What are we doing here?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right.
Haim's coming to save us all.
Please, Jack. So you think if you had to bet your life right now one way or the other, you think he cleans house?
I think he cleans house.
I think so, too. And I would have, again, I've been very staunch. I think I said like a 2% chance Clint Dag goes earlier. I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong or when things change. At this point, after that comes out and the fact that it is taking so long, it makes me feel like Middleton is lining his ducks up in a row. He's figuring everything out and he's going to clean house.
Yeah. I think the fact that there hasn't been any statement of any kind, of nothing, like he's clearly deliberating right now.
I'm going to be so disappointed if he doesn't.
Oh, dude. Like wake
be
me
such a bummer.
Wake me up. Wake me up when Haim signs with the Red Sox.
Yeah, get ready. Oh God, get ready for a high hopes.
Yeah, I mean he's
in tears.
He's gonna be using the Red Sox system and resources to build the next juggernaut of the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm just saying it is so important to hire this guy, and it is. He's the only guy in baseball I would trust as the GM other than myself.
I'll take Chaim Bloom over you. No offense.
Kidding.
No offense.
I'm not kidding.
Well, it's better than the caller to the Midday Show today who said, make Charlie Manuel the general manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happened.
I know. That's
where we're at, folks.
Yeah.
We're at the point where, and yes, there can sometimes be some crazy WIP calls. People are calling WIP saying, make Charlie the GM. Help us. Fix this.
Did he follow it up with make Chase Utley the manager?
I'm sure he was thinking it.
Make Dawkins the defensive coordinator?
I'm sure he was thinking it. Making Chase the manager is not the worst idea.
No, I don't think it's that bad of an idea.
I think Chase actually could be a really good manager someday. Again, he needs
to figure out how to talk to people.
Yeah, and also he needs some experience. Like that's the thing about Raul, which... Again, and it doesn't seem like they want to go the new manager route, but the reason both of us really like Raul is because he put in his work. He did what you're supposed to do to become a manager in baseball. He went and he worked in a front office. He's like learned about these things. I do think that matters, but I think temperament-wise, baseball-wise, I do think someday Chase, if he wanted to do it, could be good at it.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Great baseball guy.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right. Got anything else on your mind, Fritzy?
Offseason Jack is officially here.
Thank God. That's all we're waiting for.
The other night, I was trying to find Joe Girardi mic'd up because I've just fallen head over heels with Joe Girardi.
Ooh. All right. So who's your top choice? Is he your
Girardi.
Top? Me too. I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think he brings the nicest blend of stature of someone that clubhouse will respect, but also someone who is a really nice mix of analytics and old school baseball and like uses feel, but still understands the importance of analytics. I like Girardi.
I like Girardi too. I know Yankees fans don't love Girardi.
It's really interesting. I'm very with you. It's funny. I have one of my best friends is a diehard Yankees fan, and he thought Girardi was horrendous. Even as Girardi won the World Series, he's like, they did it in spite of Girardi. That's what he felt.
But. Yeah, I mean, one of my best friends is a Yankees fan too, and he started keeping a diary of all the things Girardi would do wrong
oh,
in a
God.
Game.
He really got triggered.
He became so obsessed with like, this guy is horrible. So there's that. Hanging over the balance, but like, I just think that I think this team needs a Girardi, and I think he's smart.
I think he's smart too, and I think that people always talk about the Yankees, but they forget what a great job he did with the Marlins in his first managerial job. Like, he really did a great job managing that team. That was not a super talented team, and he did a really good job with it. I'm a couple years out. He's probably got the hunger back if he's willing to take a job. I'm with you. I think Girardi just makes the most sense from a lot of angles. We'll see, man. We'll see.
Anyway, so the other night I was watching.
I'm beating down a little bit right now.
I was watching. I was trying to find a Joe Girardi mic'd up, but I ended up just going down a rabbit hole of Joe Girardi ejection compilations.
Were they good?
Yeah, it was like a 30 minute.
30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minutes of him just getting thrown out of games.
He got thrown out of a lot of games.
He got thrown out of a lot of games. It was like,
wow.
Surprising.
Like, over, I like that.
Over like not that big of a deal.
Give me some fire.
Yeah.
In my life with my manager.
I'm just starting to look up pitchers I want.
Oh yeah,
I'm already thinking about the big trade.
I thought you were talking about like the June draft. I was like,
I can't wait. Well, they did solidify the 15th pick. Breaking news.
Hey,
can't wait.
It's actually higher than you know, would have expected.
Well, yeah, it's because I expected a playoff run this year. but I do think...
What a crazy thing to expect. That was dumb.
In this city? I think the Phillies need to make a... They need to kind of change up the core a little bit this offseason and add in a big star, whether that's trading away some top prospects to get it done.
Oh, might need some prospects, but go ahead.
Yeah. Mookie. Mookie comes to mind.
I love the idea of, we could trade for Mookie. With what? With what? Spencer Howard and Alec Baum doesn't get you Mookie.
And Hoskins?
Sure. That's an interesting package. Here's the thing. The Mookie thing is he's got 1 year left on his deal, so it would be...
Well, you're resigning him.
Of course you are, but the point is that still adds the extra layer, but I don't even think that's enough to get it done.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think there has to be a top 10 prospect in the game in that type of trade.
But I have a weird Chris Bryant feel.
I can see that. Look, that's I believe a Boris Klein, Chris.
Boris Klein, yeah. Best friends with Harper.
Makes sense.
They won Little League championships together, I guess. They talk all the time. They're best friends.
I'm very in for Chris Bryant. Let's go.
I think
coming off a bit of a down couple years compared to the year before.
Good Chris Bryant is.
Yeah. So I mean, maybe get him a discount.
I don't know if it'd be a discount, but
not,
I mean,
like more less than you would have had to pay from 2 years ago. Is
yeah. And
he needs to get paid and all that.
Theo, who is finally realizing that he's behind the times and not very good at finding free agencies and building and sustaining a roster. Is that what I critiqued him for?
Yes.
And he's already planning his exit to go back to Boston, probably. I mean, what a guy. he said the other day that Chris Bryant and Javi Baez are not untouchable. So.
Yeah.
There could be a path.
There's no way they have enough to trade for Baez. You get Bryant for cheaper than Baez.
Yeah.
I mean,
Baez has been a top three
Baez has been
MVP
a player.
Candidate
he's a better
last
player,
year.
And he's a more versatile player, and he plays a more important position, and he's better defensively. I mean, Baez is a better player.
And he's really cool.
Yeah. He's fun. Like, he's a fun player, Javi Baez. I enjoy watching that guy play baseball.
He's a reason to go to the ballpark.
Yeah, he is. He is a really fun... He could do anything at any time. Like, he's that talented and that athletic and all that. But
Bryant, Harper, Realmuto.
Let's go. I would be good with that. Chaim, make it happen.
Yeah.
Jack?
It's all that matters.
Middleton. Let's
please.
Go.
Please.
Can we see Jack Middleton? I loved Jack Middleton.
So did I.
Not a big fan of John at the moment. Yeah. I'm considering taking the H out of his name. I'm considering making him John and not John. It's where we're at right now.
J-O-H-N is the real John.
Obviously. You would know something about that. All right.
Nope.
Any final thoughts?
Oh, that wasn't my final thought. They need to make a core-changing move this offseason.
Yeah, well, let's just say my final thought. Sign Kai and Bloom. Get rid of Matt Klentak. Let's go. I don't think there's anything else we need to say. Rate and review the podcast once a week now.
Once a week.
We're going to make
an emergency podcast when necessary.
The second something happens, we will be there. So hopes are not high at the moment.
They're getting there.
But they will hopefully get there next week. Week after, whenever stuff finally happens, we'll be with you either way. So, for Fred's and Salazar, we'll talk to you later.